Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
And we were talking about the Kerry quadruple joy over the weekend. A couple of listeners.
Not that you like to talk about.
Who am I to mention Kerry? But we have a couple of listeners texting in on it. One telling me that the Rossies will put a halt to the Kerry Gallop on Sunday. Come on, St. Bridget's, because of course, on Dangany Cush are playing St. Bridget's for the senior club final next Sunday, so everyone's going to be watching that one. But there's somebody from Roscommon telling me what's what. And another one, don't forget Kilbritton of Cork winning junior hurling final on Saturday for the first time ever. A great achievement for a small parish and not normally a stronghold in hurling. That'd be like Fiji, I suppose.
Yeah.
That one is from Maria Burke in West Cork. So well done there. We will move on though, because scientists have for the first time recovered DNA that may belong to Leonardo da Vinci. Taken from a red chalk drawing known as Holy Child, this genetic material may also unlock the source of his genius. I'm joined now by Jesse Ossibel, an environmental scientist at Rockefeller University and a member of the Leonardo da Vinci DNA Project. You're very welcome, Jesse.
Good to be with you, Katie and Paul.
Do you know, before we get to the Da Vinci side of this, this research is so interesting in its own right because it involves a new technique that can extract DNA, the DNA of humans and plants and viruses and so forth from letters, from paper, from wax seals.
That's correct. A few years ago when I was in Dublin, the curator of the Long Room, Paul Holm, gave me a tour. And of course, we saw the Book of Kells and the Book of Dimma. And the Long Room may be not only a library, but it may be a biological archive. It may have the DNA of the scribes who prepared the Book of Kells, or maybe of Dimma himself.
And this is a new breakthrough, Jesse, is it? The ability to extract DNA of this nature from these ancient texts?
That's correct. We've spent years working very carefully. Of course, these are precious objects of cultural heritage, and one wants to do no damage at all. So we've worked to develop techniques with baby vacuum cleaners, microaspirators, with cotton swabs, to try to develop protocols, which in fact we have now published, that allows sampling, obtaining of good samples of DNA, but with minimal harm to these precious objects.
And Jesse, what would you hope to learn about some of the people who wrote the manuscripts you're talking about?
Leonardo was an outlier. There's no gene for genius, but Leonardo had incredible visual acuity, incredible eyesight, both in space and time. He could see the motion of the wings of a dragonfly, the movement of water, in ways that most of us can't. So, and he also had tremendous pixels, resolution in space. Everything is a mixture of nature and nurture. Obviously, you know, he ate carrots or something as a boy also that helped him with good eyesight. But we think he may have been genetically endowed with extraordinary genes for vision. So eventually, as we build up his genome, we hope, for example, to learn the source of his extraordinary visual acuity. He would have been a great football goalie today.
The biological data that you have already obtained, it's just so fascinating what you're able to extract from these materials, like orange trees from the Medici Gardens.
That's correct. Part of what we learn is about who, of course, we want the DNA of Leonardo, but part of what we're learning is also about when and where. You mentioned the orange trees. We are also sampling for what's called microbiomes. You know, there are these communities of microbes, bacteria and other kinds of things, tiny microbes, that live in almost every setting, in your carpet or on the surface of a painting or drawing. And so we've been sampling these microbiomes as well. And in the case of the Holy Child and some of the other samples that we've taken, for example, from letters from archives written by near Florence in Italy, written by members of Leonardo's family. We found the DNA of a particular type of orange that was associated with the gardens of the Medicis, and also we found malaria. And of course, 600 years ago in Tuscany, many people suffered from malaria. There were malarial swamps in that area, so we may actually know exactly the kind of malarial parasite that caused the problems for people at that time.
And how will you know if the DNA you have is Da Vinci's DNA? And presumably these works passed through a number of hands. Do you have other family samples that you can verify it with?
Exactly right. Every object is handled by many people, and that introduces, we would say, contamination. But by taking different kinds of samples, for example, samples from possible living descendants of his half-brothers, by taking samples from his predecessor, his own ancestors, taking DNA from his notebooks, if we get a batch, it's like going to a casino with the slot machines, and if they all come up cherries, you're a winner. So we're hoping that by also continuing to obtain more samples in coming months, that we'll be able to get enough matches, enough overlap, to be quite confident that we have some DNA of Leonardo.
And Jesse, we mentioned Holy Child, this red chalk drawing, that there has been some dispute about the author of it, or the artist behind it, over the years. There is a whole area of research now, isn't there, using DNA to attribute works of art to the artists behind them?
DNA and genetics and genomics are now a kind of imperial science. They're, of course, very important in the courtroom now for rape trials, for example. And in general, I'd say if you're innocent, you want the DNA evidence, and if you're guilty, you probably don't. It tends to be very, very reliable. So there's no question that DNA evidence will become more and more part of art history, historical studies in general. So we are at the cutting edge. We've taken a very, very hard case. But yes, in the case of the Holy Child drawing, many experts think it's Leonardo, but sub-question it. And we hope that by comparing the DNA from the Holy Child with DNA from other sources, like the notebooks, pages of the notebooks that Leonardo himself unequivocally wrote, that the matches will lead to a reference set of the letters that make up these DNA, the TCAs and Gs, that will form a reliable reference for identity.
Is it possible that a student or apprentice of Da Vinci simply handed up his homework for correction, and the DNA you'll see is teacher's thumbprint, and the true artist may never be known?
Well, I would say we hope we'll know the true artist. But Leonardo himself, for example, was an apprentice in the studio of great artist Andrea Verrocchio. And it's quite possible that in future years, by doing studies of the works of Verrocchio, we'll be able to learn whether Leonardo did, in fact, himself contribute to some of the works that are actually, let's say, 60% Verrocchio and 40% Leonardo.
In terms of getting access to the works of Leonardo da Vinci, I mean, I don't see the Louvre letting you in to swab the Mona Lisa. Has it been difficult persuading?
They do let people in.
They have
quite
let people
regularly.
in other circumstances. But has it been quite challenging to get the trust for people to allow you to, work your magic on these works of art?
Yes, and when we started in 2014, we hoped this was a five-year project that would report its results on the 500th anniversary of Leonardo's death in 2019. But it's taken 11 years, and partly the reason is that the curators, the people who care for the works of Leonardo, are, of course, very cautious. The paintings have been handled a lot, and cleaned a lot. So we actually think the paintings are probably less interesting from our point of view than letters, notebooks, other materials. So we've tended to focus on these other kinds of materials, and we hope that the Pope, the King of England, the kinds of people who own Leonardo's will join the project in coming months and years.
Fantastic. Okay, Jesse Ossibel, that's Jesse Ossibel, environmental scientist at Rockefeller University. Thanks very much for joining us on that. The best of luck with future hunts and endeavours for the DNA of the Renaissance.